Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, listening audience, to another live production of Keep It Real on AM 360, the number one Muslim station in the nation. We are, I could declare that there's no prophet of Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been these past weeks or months talking about healing from trauma, healing from trauma, if you will. And so the question came, what does Allah say about mental health or emotional health? Does Allah address emotional health and his teachings? And absolutely. The answer is absolutely. Any of us that are believers, we know that Allah, we know through our interaction with Allah, through reading his Quran and his hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he does address mental health, and that our mental health is very important to the growth and development of the human being. From his Adam state, the immature initial state, to the to the place where he has God consciousness and has mastered himself, if you will. All of that, all of the stages of growth and development that we, the human being, go through are demonstrated and captured and revealed in Quran. So yes, Allah does say a lot about mental health. One of the references, we can reference our initial exposure to Allah demonstrating he cares about our mental health is the just starting at the beginning story in the Quran or even in the Bible demonstrating the birth of Adam. We know that we have learned that that birth is not just a physical birth, but that birth of the human being also demonstrates his initial struggles, and those struggles Allah mentions when captures in his story wisdom that speaks to the mind of a person, if you will. I will like to say this. I do not proclaim that I know everything. I am a student. I am studying diligently to understand this information, understanding the revelations of Allah, and be relevant and relative as it relates to growth of the human being and as it specifically relates to the healing, specifically psychological healing. So we're going to be referencing the story of Moses, which some have labeled the psychological, the story that demonstrates psychologically growth and development, if you will. So from what we know, Moses, the name Musa or Moses means to draw out of water, deliver, or a deliverer from water, to bring out of water, if you will. We have some, in the story of Moses, there's some characters we want to identify so that we're all on the same page of his journey through using the story of Moses, alayhi salam, as a guide to health and healing, giving us, putting ourselves responsible for our own growth and healing. And we establishing ourselves in a different place where we have a different identity and our mind works differently and we have different access to different wisdoms and blessings of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you will. So I'll just read. I'm just going to read something. This, the best form of charity, Allah writes and says in Quran, that the best form of charity is giving of water to drink. Important or significant or relevant to what we're talking about today, giving of water to drink to a people or person that is thirsty. So the Getting back to the symbol of Moses, first let me go ahead and get the foundation, the Quranic foundation. I'm reading from Surah 28, Kazakh. I'm reading 1 through 5, inshallah. I will do the Lahim and Ashaytan reading. Ta, Sin, Mim. These are the verses of the book that makes things clear. We rehearse those, some of the story of Moses and Pharaoh in truth for people who believe. Truly, Pharaoh elated himself in the land and broke up its people into sections, depressing a small group among them. Their sons he slew, but he kept alive their females, for he indeed was the maker of mischief. And I'm going to read our Surah 5 as well. And we wish to be gracious to those who were being depressed in the land and to make them leaders of faith and to make them heirs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a response, has a response to people, well, let's say Hebrew at this time, needing a relief from a burden of depression, if you will. Not that this was the depression is the mental illness that we're going to talk about. I'm talking about the broad spectrum of the foundation of mental illness and emotional illness, if you will. So the symbolism of Moses. We have the, as it relates to trauma, we're going to be I'm blaming, I should do the same. I'll continue to allow me to speak smoothly and eloquently so they may hear me and take away something that's good and process for your own soul. So, okay, so the child impulse inside of it, of the person grows in stature and then leads you from torment. This statement goes to the place in the human being where Allah puts something, and that something is activated along his path of growth and development. Things that you, there's some experiences with Allah, some gathering of wisdom, some growth that you won't get unless you are on at and you are unless you're intentionally on this path of growth and development. And so we've got the symbol of Exodus. We're familiar with the story of Exodus, where Moses was given the purpose or the task to free people from Pharaoh, lead them through a Red Sea and onto another stage or another place or another land, another stage of growth and development. So the symbolism that we're going to start from is Exodus symbolizes the lower mind of the human being. Okay, so let me first define something. Start off with some common ground, if you will. In Exodus, the people were enslaved. They were servants of another system, a system that used them, not a system that empowered them. So I want to say that again. You are used by a system. This is a place where you are serving not Allah and not for the sake of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this image, in this symbolism, the service that you are the servitude that you have in the place where you need to be to in Exodus, where you need to free yourself, the service that you are giving, the service that you are providing is for the sake of another institution, another government, another land or leadership, not for your sake, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the there's a parallel here between the physical and the emotional or the spiritual, emotional fact or and spiritual. There's the physical, of course, obviously the people that were enslaved and their service, or all of their the things that they, all of their skills, all of their knowledge, all of their resources are used to empower another or another. If you will. So now looking at this from the point of emotional health and healing, the system that could hold you in service away from growing and advancing in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you accept your role and your purpose in life as a human being to serve Allah, that part is be the place where you are serving your lower emotions. That part that did not grow due to trauma. But just imagine years of enslavement. You were enslaved by another group or even another group or another government or whatever. Let's say, for example, 400 years you spent in slavery. your family spent 400 years in slavery. That is an example, if you will. How you operated, how you conducted your entire day, things you thought about yourself, all based on where you were at that place, at that stage in your own existence, where your emotions were at that place. So Exodus is a place, as we come to Exodus, there's a time to leave. There's a, when you grow from one stage to another, there's a leaving of the lower stage to intentionally move to a higher place. So this lower place in your mind would be the place where your emotions are running you, running your life, running how you think, running what governs whether you, what you think is right and wrong. And as it relates to trauma, 9 times out of 10, your emotions are allowed to lead because you've not gone through the steps, whether it's of your own choosing or you not knowing that there were steps that Allah has provided for you to go through so that you are not held in bondage by the circumstances of your own trauma, by the circumstances of your lower emotions. Allah wants thriving for you. He wants you to leave the place where your emotions are leading you, place where you are oppressed by either your ignorance, you not knowing, and all of this is under the umbrella of trauma. This rains out of trauma. The place where you are allowing your emotions to run, you rains out of trauma. And that's another point to prove that Allah does show concern for the human being's mental health, and that there are prescriptions that are specifically written out in the form of a story that we can use as a picture to draw from, if you will. So so we got the Exodus, we're leaving the lower mind through a path of freedom to our higher divine mind. And so this is the language that we're familiar with. We're leaving Exodus and freeing the people from Exodus, going through the Red Sea and on a journey to what the term we are familiar with is called the Promised Land. So I couldn't understand what the Promised Land meant for me. I still don't understand. Using those terms, but using the term in the equation that there's a place that you need to leave where your emotions are running, and okay, so there's the leading of the people leaving Exodus, being set free by Moses, and when they're set free, they're delivered into a place where they are free. They're actually free, and ironically, this is not the place where we want to rest for the rest of our lives. We don't want to rest in the land of free. The land of the free is a place where we have privilege and choice to discipline ourselves. So we don't want to be in a place where we're free and not taking advantage of becoming disciplined, if you will. We also would like to take this time right now to say that this is open for discussion. Anything I say is open for discussion. I welcome discussion at any time. So you just press one, raise your hand raised. I'll open the mic and we'll start a discussion, if you will. Okay. And if you have some confusion, let's have a discussion. So maybe you can help me clarify myself, or I could clarify something for you as well. So the leaving of the lower mind, and your goal is to get to a higher level of consciousness. So in the story of Moses, we do see generational trauma, psychological trauma. childhood trauma and physical trauma. There is demonstrated, captured in the story. If you can imagine, what I read in Quran, Surah 4 of 28, where Allah says, Pharaoh has elated himself in the land and broke up the people into sections, depressing a small group among them. Their sons he slew and kept alive the females, for he was indeed the maker of mischief. I do see a hand raised. I want to take it as soon as I finish this talk, because sometimes go and they don't come back right away. And for the sake of time, I'm going to get it out. I'm going to share if I will, if it's okay. So we can relate to the story of being in captivity or in bondage or service to another. We can definitely relate to that. We can see that. And we can relate to generational trauma that happens in this kind of servitude to an other. And real quick, the damage can be done to the man's soul by the physical servitude to another, and also by the emotional servitude to another. Any servitude to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through mastering yourself and becoming disciplined will lead to you being in a state where your emotions are not, where your emotions keep you a damaged human being. So I'm going to take the caller before we carry on. We have caller 6334-419. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm excited to hear your contribution. State your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you. I'm Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. Alaikum assalam. God peace be with you and to the audience. I appreciate and value. This is so important to address the issue. And give some help in terms of dealing with, you know, our life circumstances. And I'm finding with some health issues that gratitude means so much, and being able to behind you and see that there's so many that have had Allah has permitted. That's the other thing, that circumstances that we encounter in life, God says, you know, that which is for us was not going to pass us by. That which was going to pass us by. That, you know, the life circumstances. So we have to, get the best narrative or the best story in terms of seeing our life and seeing the challenges and trauma that we may have experienced, seeing those in the best light. And I found that Imam Muhammad has shared, for years, he was in a car accident, and he went through the windshield of the car, and from that time on, he had serious back issues, pain, back pain. But I was just talking with a brother about Imam saying, you know, that regardless of the circumstances, Allah had blessed him to come into a heavenly state in terms of his life. And so I believe that starts with our spirit and how we see our life narrative or our life story, and that sometimes, you know, we've been permitted as an individual and as a group of people, we've been permitted to go through experiences, some of them very tragic and very painful, but they were not necessarily just for us to have to endure. You know, we have we're social beings, you know, human beings are very social. And we like to engage one another. And I have found, and I've read, that you know, we share our stories and we are able to encourage one another. You know, I remember, I don't know why I'm thinking about this, Mary J. Blige told Anita Baker how her songs had really inspired her at a time when she was in a very, very, very low point in her life. And that's what Allah has given us. He's given us this humanity where we're able to relate, and the other gifts of resilience that he's given us. I took a class in early childhood development, and I read a few torturous examples of children being seriously abused and violated by caregivers. And so much so that when they were found, they appeared in every sense of the word to be retarded, you know, developmentally regressed. But once they got into a human environment, they were able to start to blossom, and you could see their growth in terms of their improved human behavior. And lastly, I had someone share with me, you have to consciously focus on making better pictures for yourself, better memories. You know, oftentimes we're punished, we punish ourselves by remembering the terrible experiences that we've gone through. And so, but we have the ability to make better memories for ourselves. And I'll stop there. Thank you so much, sis.
You're welcome.
I really
Thank
appreciate
you very
it.
Much. I want to respond to what you said, because that's what we do. You brought something to my mind. We're also gonna that pertains to the growth and healing from trauma that Allah demonstrates. And his stories teaches to us that is inevitable of the human being to experience trauma. You're gonna be hurt. You're gonna have your emotions bruised. You're gonna be a plate. You're gonna be some experiences that are going to make painful memories for you. Those memories, because of your emotional state and your immature emotional state, will be allowed to run freely and unchecked. And in your unchecked mind, where your emotions are running freely, the danger of that is that you welcome in other entities or spirits or other thought processes that will deter you from growing or seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or seeking to be in a higher place consciously, spiritually and mentally. And Allah gives us the prescription for interrupting that process that he knows is going to happen from trauma, that he knows you're going to experience. And you mentioned, Brother Michael, gratitude and I believe forgiveness. Those are keys. I remember my first experience with the term forgiveness and gratitude. They were words, they had definitions. I didn't know that they were keys or concepts that opened up things for me personally. I didn't know that. I learned the power of forgiveness because I had to. Had I not learned, I'm still learning. I apologize for saying learn. I am learning the power of forgiveness because it was imperative that I learn forgiveness in order to grow. I could not grow past a certain point because my mind was stuck reliving an experience that left me injured. Forgiveness gave me the power to place that experience where it needed to be so that I could move gratitude gives me a way of looking at a thing from a higher place where I am not, I'm not being hit over and over again with the memory of the injury that caused the trauma. I am grateful. Something about gratitude that sits in a place in your mind that occupies space where it prevents something else from occupying that space. It prevents anger, bitterness, and resentment. Forgiveness and gratitude washes those things or keeps those things away. I didn't know those things were essential to my soul. Allah says in Quran that humans are grateful not because Allah needs our gratitude, but because our gratitude benefits the man's soul. Allah tells us, He clearly tells us He is concerned about our soul. He's concerned about our mental health, our emotional health. So much so that He would give us, this is just one story. In every story, you can see there is a growth and development of the human being mentally. So there's this repeating of the same growth trajectory, if you will. There are different stages of growth, but there is a movement to move from a place you are now to another place that's higher, away from you. So going back to the story of Musa alayhi salam, there is this, I'm going to use both references, the Bible and Quran, because Quran gives me permission. It's in the scripture, and we rehearse to these some of the story of Moses. He only mentioned some of the story, so I go to the places for what we're familiar with. So we have in the story of Moses, there is this this laying down of the rod, to you laying down yourself where you are today, laying that down, submitting yourself down. We see Allah has called us in so many places. He has said to us and demonstrates, even in the story of Ibrahim, alayhi salam, that leaving that place of familiarity, leave the city, leave your home or your accolades, those things that you have accomplished. Leave that and come to a place where I will show you. So we will, this leaving, if you will, I want to paint this picture of leaving a place of bondage. So in this case, the bondage that you are leaving is the bondage of your horrific past, present, and fearful future. You're leaving the bondage of your injuries, of the trauma, of your anger issues, of your anxieties, these things that hold, that you allow to hold you in bondage. And it's hard when you are recovering from these places where you have been in bondage to these things, to see that you have allowed this to happen. And it's important to accept accountability and responsibility for your own health and healing as an individual. I can't depend on my imam to help me on this level. There's a level that's personal that nobody outside of you can help you. It's you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will ask you to leave what you thought you knew to be or your place of comfort. I'm comfortable here. And what we know about comfort is that comfort is the thief of expanding, of growing. You're comfortable. So you won't do anything else differently. I always get angry. This is how I am. This is how I respond to things. If you knew that that attitude is on a certain level, like to a child who's in, not saying you're 5 years old, but I'm going to use the example of a kindergartner who has now graduated from a real school to go to first grade, if you will. What if he said, no, I don't want to go any further. I just want to stay right here where I am, where I'm comfortable with Ms. Jackson as my teacher, and so forth and so on. The work is easy. I don't have to learn anything new, nor do I have to master any emotions that I should master in order to thrive in first, second, third, fourth grade, if you will. That's the image I want us to paint. Now I want to you being in charge of your own growth and development as you heal from the trauma of someone else or something else. You are in charge. You are a head. You are the head. You are in charge. Meaning, take back your power from that thing that runs around in your mind that keeps you traumatized. That energy, that injury that you remember over and over again, even down to it being transmitted in your DNA. So how do we change that? How do you let it focus down at the DNA molecule? We'll get to that. But I first, and in getting to that, there is a new way of thinking. There are new responsibilities, new tasks, and there's a new identity that you have. Looking at the story of Moses, the children of the enslaved Hebrews, when they were set free, so there is a freeing, and in the and them being set free, there was a name change. And somewhere in this Exodus, there was a name change. When they were enslaved and in bondage by another government, another power, they had one name. And upon deciding to participate in their own growth and development, their name changes. And they're deciding to participate. That was a conscious decision that I have to grow. And I'm going to agree with leaving kindergarten, going to first grade. I want to do the assignment that's required so that I pass the exams, the quizzes, and so forth and so on, in line with the analogy of being an algorithm. That was your being in school, if you will. So the children of Israel, and this analogy represent the desires that come from you after you establish spirit and mind. After you decide, I see that there's a direction I should go in, and I decided to participate. I am agreeing with Allah's plan and purpose for my life to willfully participate in this journey from other mastery through a path of freedom to self-mastery. I've got to go. I've got to leave this place of bondage. And in doing so, your identity, who you are, is going to change. Who you are to yourself is going to change. Who you are to others. Are there struggles along the way? Absolutely. In the story of Moses, we see that there were struggles with their own identity, who they are, what their assignments were to do, how they were supposed to operate, what they thought about themselves. All of that takes time to change. It's not going to happen overnight. But the first thing we do in recovering from trauma is willfully participate in your own growth and development. Recognizing that the trauma in your mind that you allow to run, the idea of injury running in your mind as trauma is running you, preventing you from all of the blessings that Allah may have for you on the next level. On the next degree of growth, if you will. So it's your job. It's your responsibility to be accountable for your growth and develop it. So that's where forgiveness comes in. I give up the right to complain about an injury. I now know that the injury is a service to keep me bonded to an event that is significant to my growth. So, this is it's hard. Going to be arduous. Unless you're reading the rest of the story of Moses, there is a lot of pain in making this change, if you will, letting go of the idea that I am a slave to my emotions, a slave to anybody else. But right now, it's talking about mental health. I'm a slave to my emotions, recognizing that I have allowed myself to be oppressed because of what I think about a thing. What I think about myself, you can allow yourself to be oppressed, if you will. We don't want to stunt our own growth, if you will. Again, this is a discussion. I welcome, and I will take a break. I welcome and converse with any of our listeners that want to contribute or have questions for clarity, or want to give me clarity if you've heard that I said something that is incorrect. I will do Balahi Min Shaitan Rajim. I am not completely learned, which is why I study a little, but I'm getting through it. I know that there's a lot more to unpack in this story of Moses, and I can't speak about this growth and development on mental health without. We'll stop. I got to take a break first. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I want to paint the picture of how it began with Adam, how it includes Abraham. And we don't have time to go to all the topics, but we can see in each of the stories a demonstration of growth and development specifically to the human being's mindset, if you will. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after an important message from our sponsors. You're listening to Keeping It Real. I'm with Princess Karima Aziz here every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, if you will. Thank you again for joining us. I'll be right back after a short PSA.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back. You're listening to Keep It Real. And this is your host, the Princess Karima Aziz. Thank you again for staying and not straying. Okay, so we're talking about using, we are extrapolating wisdom from the story of Musa, alayhi salam, as Allah reveals in the Quran and as man has written in the Bible on mental health healing. And what we're discovering, or what we are learning, not discovering, because I speak, but don't want to sound presumptuous, what we are studying is Allah really cares so much about our growth and development emotionally, and it's built into the design, the human being's design. There is no progression toward learning and how to be a better human being and how to be in service to Allah without going through these stages of growth and development. And as I said that, I recognize that I at some point had to graduate from the idea of thinking that service to Allah was physical service to Allah, that I would serve in my community, I would serve in my home, or I would serve. That is not the first, that's not the foundation of service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm learning. The foundation of serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving yourself up to you, giving yourself up from you. That's the first place, the first service that you give toward in your walk toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laying yourself down. And we'll look through the story of Moses, Moses alayhi salam. The question is, Egypt representing the lower mind, the people are being set free from Egypt. So how did they do that? They turned the rod into a serpent. This was referencing what man has written into the Bible, turning the rod into a serpent. So that dependence on yourself, you throw that down. Depending on yourself, leaning on your own understanding. And the reason why, as we relate this to health and healing, because that's where the enemy keeps you running in a circle of being injured over and over again and reliving or establishing trauma, if you will. So there's this dependence on yourself. So what came to my mind was let go and let God. So you got to let yourself go, let that go. And how do you do that in your mind? Allah gives us the prescription of a salat, and he gives us the prescription of reading Quran. And so those, and that's not the only prescription he gives us for doing that, but those represent I think is meditation, where you're quiet, you quiet your mind, and you listen. There's meditating. So meditating, quieting your mind, and in so doing, you can imagine chatter that goes on in your mind when you're operating from a place of constant trauma. There's chatter that goes on in your mind, rightly so. And obviously, because if your mind isn't setting in rest with Allah, then it's running in fight or flight. It's running inefficiently, running. And if you can imagine being in service to an other, whether it's your emotions or whether it's physically to another government or another, you can imagine the bondage, the bond that you have to free yourself from. So we talk about freeing ourselves from the bonds we allow to run, to be established in our minds through accepting the relationship that we have with trauma. And I see Michael Amin has something else to say, but I want to say this because I did forget. It is important for us to stand on the top as the head of our growth and development and not the tail and not the end. It is important that we see ourselves as the head of our existence. And where do I get that? Allah says he's known me before I was formed a clot in my mother's womb. That means me, I have to be a me for Allah to know me. So I no longer believe that my mother, that I didn't ask to be here, that I didn't choose my mother and my dad, and I didn't choose these experiences that I'm having. I accept that Allah knew me before I knew who I was and my mother knew me. So there's something in my relationship with Allah's will for the human being. There's something in my will that was significant in the path that I'm experiencing in this life. So that's freeing me from the bond of I'm a victim to I didn't ask to be here. That's just that thought of I didn't ask to be here. That place where victim mentality is allowed to run rampant. No, you are in charge of your experience. Take charge now. Leave Egypt. Turn around yourself, and go through a path of the Red Sea. That Red Sea representing their emotions. You no longer your lower emotions. You would trudge in a path through the Red Sea. That first thought takes you agreeing, you saying, you agreeing, making, and seeing that you have established your mind. You want a higher living for yourself, a higher place for yourself. Why? Because you would die otherwise. They ran like death was on them, and it is. It's on you. Death is coming. It's on you. Death of your mind. You walk around as a zombie serving other people physically. Your mind dead. You don't want to live that way. Although, okay, so we're going to take this call real quick. I appreciate it. 334, this is Michael Mead. Assalamualaikum. You had something else you wanted to say?
Yes, alaikum assalam. I get excited when the subjects that you raise are put before me because there's so much help in scripture. And there's so much help in kind of flipping the script from seeing ourselves in a world but not really understanding how life operates. You know, we're here because we have something to do. No, you know, it's not about me. Okay, I didn't ask to be here, but okay, now maybe I should raise the question, well, why am I here? I didn't ask. You know, I didn't have a choice. So why am I here? The process.
I'm sorry for interrupting. I wanted to ask you a question. When you read in Quran that Allah has known you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and so taking that thing to its logical conclusion or not logical, taking a thought to its logical conclusion, how do you reconcile that I didn't ask to be here? I may not have asked to be here, but I didn't disagree to come. If he's known me before my mother knew me, there I had to be known. If I'm known, I had to be something conscious in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have known me. I'm just thinking. I wanted to get your thoughts on that so we can get away. That thought of I'm not asking to be here can hold a lot of people in just the bondage of being subject to their circumstances where I didn't ask for this life. This life was thrown upon me. Well, Allah upon what Allah says, no, the life wasn't thrown upon you. I've known you before you were formed a clot in your mother's womb. So I just wanted to ask what was.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And let's start with the process that brought us here. A father and a mother. Father had the seed, the mother had the egg. And in the process of us coming here, God knew this process. Where all these, you know, I can't think of the number. It's a tremendously high number of seeds that are trying to get to the egg, and only one of them was able to in that process get to the egg and to fertilize the egg that starts the process of mine, your life, and everybody else's life, and everything that else that has that kind of process. We come through those methods. So when we look at all of the seeds, the possibilities of us being one seed, the other seeds, you know, in terms of this process, we're breaking down the barriers. There's resistance around the egg, as I understand it. There's a resistance and it's only going to accept, in most cases, it's only going to accept one seed. So the other seeds are trying to do the same thing that the seed that made me and you possible are doing. But that seed also has some help. You know, those seeds, those many, many seeds that don't make it, they had a job to do, you know. They were breaking down this resistance that the egg produces. And so it's not, there's nothing wasted. When we look at how Allah's creation is, you know, there's so many lessons to be learned from. And this is why the devil doesn't want us to look at creation. The devil distracts us away in terms of how created, supported logic, you know, is shared with us through Allah's creation. So, okay, I didn't ask to come here. Well, you weren't important enough to ask. You know, you're a part of a life process that the Creator, the one who created you, he's going to help you. And he wants you to be here because you got a purpose. There's a purpose for you being here. And you have to find that out. And I like to be specific. It's not serving God, because God don't need any service. But he's created a life process. He's created life process that says, okay, I'm going to permit you to be here now. I want you to serve this process. I'm taking it from weakness to strength, the savagery in our past, and human beings killing one another. You know, we're so sophisticated now, we don't even think about the savagery of the past, the brutality of the past. And then some of us that do, we say, well, life is so unfair. You know, we don't understand that the difficulties are there because God is doing something with the human life. Okay. He's doing something. There's an object lesson. There are lessons there. We're moving from weakness to strength. We're moving from simple to complex. There's a movement going on in us. You know, those of us that have become Muslim, we honor our ancestry. God has honored our ancestry by making us Muslims because we have the possibility to be more evolved.
Stop right there. Get 1 minute left in the program. Thank you. And thank you so very much, Brother Michael.
Don't give me.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm sorry. You said it's what I apologize. Michael? All right.
Yes,
ma'am. Okay, so my hand is working too. Anyway, we've got 1 more minute left in 2 more minutes of the program. I apologize. I didn't get a chance to get the end of his sentence. But he said that he said something that corrected me in my thoughts. Serving Allah, we don't want to look at it as serving Allah in a way that Allah needs our service. And that's very important, very, very significant. We are serving Allah because our soul needs that process of servitude. We have to lay ourselves down away from for ourselves for the sake of our own growth. Lay down in your immaturity, you can think about what a baby thinks of himself. You do not want to think of yourself as you thought of yourself at 3 years old, or if you thought of yourself at 30, as you thought of yourself. You're different people at every stage of growth and development. You get different identities. And so what I want to leave with and do back, we're going to get more into the symbolism or imagery, analogy and imagery of Moses, and even speak on the how it began with Adam and in Ibrahim. We're going to talk if we can. That's most significant. Hold on, I've had a call, but I only got 1 minute. All right, I'll give a. I don't have another minute. I do apologize. 347-751. I would love to have heard what you have to say to come back next week. To discuss and have a discussion. To talk about accepting accountability and our responsibility for our own growth and healing, and loosening or severing the bonds that emotional, psychological, generational trauma has hold on, has held us back from, so that we can thrive and be the best human beings that we can be. And what we're going to do is be looking at the why. Why do we need to throw it down? Why do we need to throw ourselves down, if you will? Anyway, so I love you all for showing up every week on Sunday to hear us and to hear us on AM 360, specifically me. I'll be talking about keeping it real. Next, maybe I'll see so that we can hear from Imam Kareem. Assalamu alaikum. Have a great week, and do better.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own, and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Mahasan.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Kareem Hamid. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, praise be to Allah, and we are grateful to once again broadcast the contemplations of Imam Wadifuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi, and I'm so grateful that you are one of the hosts for this wonderful presentation, Mahasan.
Yes.
This broadcast is hosted by Brother Michael Hamid, Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam, and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid. As we await Michael Hamid, he shall be the chief facilitator this evening, and he will share with us some of the deep thinking and thoughts of our beloved Imam Wadifuddin Muhammad, inshallah. I'm not sure if Michael is with us. If you are, unmute your mic or press one on your phone, please. Okay.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me now?
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. There you are.
Yes,
I was worried there for a moment.
No, I'm here, and I'm anxious to begin. I'm thankful, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm thankful for this opportunity to share the logic and language of Imam Wadifuddin Muhammad and his insights into the Quran and into other classical scripture. And just let me know when I'm chomping at the bit. Just let me know when
I
can go.
Well, Michael,
yes.
you are the number one host this week. You don't have to wait on me.
Okay,
no,
well,
sir, whoever, praise be to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Sister Mahasan, and to the listening audience. And we're reading.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Michael. We do, yeah. I'm used to that musical interlude, so I was kind of waiting to hear that as a part of introducing this very beautiful subject matter. And
we're going to begin
that we have. So what I'd like to do is, and then I'll recede into a position that we can and be clear about. I'll be on point for whenever we need the interaction, the co-reading. Again, this is a program where we're exposing our listening audience to the Ramadan Sessions Volume 1, right? It's been very, very exciting to progress through that. So, you know, I want to say Allahu Akbar. This is
God is greater than everything we have known and everything we will know and everything we can imagine. God is greater. We witness that he is one and a cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, the keeper of humanity, the keeper of his creation. And we witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last prophet, the seal of the prophets. Upon him be the prayers and the peace and what follows of that tradition. So, Michael, I will segue over to you as you get us set up to attend to where we're going to start with our reading today. And just let me know when my help is needed, okay?
Okay, thank you. I want to ask you to mute your phone. We're getting a clicking sound. Sometimes the combination of the open mics will produce a noise, and I noticed as you were speaking, I was getting a clicking sound. So just want to ask that we personally mute our phones when we're not speaking, because sometimes these mics kind of bump into one another in terms of the frequency, and we get these noises. So we're reading Ramadan Session 1992. From Volume 1 of the Ramadan Session, Imam Muhammad, edited by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. And this is March 19, 1992, Little Rock, Arkansas. The page is page 38. And the topics are turning your face, wedge towards the Kaaba, the meaning of Kaaba, the bonds of trust, Ezekiel's wheel, the meaning of the moon in religion and mythology, Isis and Osiris, Qadr and Qadr. And we begin. I want to make comments this morning on the significance of wedge face in relationship to the facing of Kaaba, or regarding the facing of Kaaba. Allah Most High says, quote, and turn your face in the direction of the Kaaba, and wherever you are, he will bring you all together, unquote. Turn your faces to the Qibla, Kaaba, and wherever you are, you will be brought all together. That tells us that the Kaaba serves also as a focus and a center for the unity of the Muslim Ummah, all of us, regardless of our nationalities, racial identities, or any other cultural differences or whatever. That is the common bonding all Muslims and establishing the pure and sacred equality for us. And by sacred, we mean that we give highest respect to out of fear of God, and that we can't violate it. It's a grievous sin to violate that. All of the precincts, that particular part of it that I'm talking about now, is perhaps the most sacred part of it, and that is the bond itself. The symbol standing for that bond that bonds us all together as equals in the presence of Allah. The face, wajh, may represent many things. The one word I think we can use in the place of face is character. So Muslims are to be of one character established upon their common original nature. Of one character. It's to be identified in their common original nature that's born like a baby and has to be developed. That's why I use the term established, because that character has to be developed. It develops with learning more so than anything else. Learning develops our character. And we know the best of learning is the Quran and the life of Muhammad, the prophet, peace be upon him. Also, basic in the growth of character is the maturing of relationships, and they are mainly the social relationships. The focus for those relationships is the home life, parent-children relationship, brother relationship, brother-sister relationship, sister-sister relationship. All those relationships, family relationships, build excellent character. Many in the family get their excellent character from someone other than the parent in the family. Sometimes it's the uncle in the household that lives with them, and he has an excellent character. So the uncle's excellent character will be infused into or imparted into one of the members of the family or many members of the family. But usually it is one of the parents of excellent character that passes on or imparts that excellence to family members. The children and people in the household or members of the family. And it comes from association, relationships, associating with each other, talking to each other, spending time with each other. So in those is an opportunity for family members to spend time with each other. The best opportunity for development of character, where it should develop, is in the house. And the emphasis on family life can't be strong for us in these modern times when so many things, the lifestyle itself, is being challenged. I'm not referring to cultural lifestyle or influence of the cultural influences of the world on us. I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to the degree with which the members of society have to be occupied with things other than the house and family. Both parents have to work in most situations. If there are two parents, both of them have to have full-time jobs just to make it, the average one. And the children, as soon as they get up, too, they have to have a part-time job in order for the family to make it, especially when it is a big family. If it's not that, it's their schooling or their friends are pulling on them. So everything is just occupying the members of the family and giving very little time for families to benefit from the natural health that God gives us, the family members, in the very nature and constitution of the family itself. Kaaba connections. This brings us to the house itself, called Bayt, home, but also called Kaaba. And Kaaba means actually connections. That's what it means, connection. Kaaba means something hinging upon something else. The ankle is Kaaba, isn't it? The ankle, our ankle, is called Kaaba because of the joining of the foot to the leg. That ankle bone that joins the foot to the leg, it's a hinge. Actually, some say in the Arabic language, some who study Arabic language, they say it is Kaaba too, where the knee joins. They say this is Kaaba too. Also, how do you say ankle in Arabic? Look up ankle in the dictionary. You see, it's been a long time since I looked at the word, the meaning of the word. Now, we know all these connections are not Kaaba in the proper sense, but technically, any connection for this is Kaaba of this, and he's demonstrating. I have a term here called Imam W.D. Muhammad. No, not the foot. Let me have it. You have the Arabic too? Okay, that's what I want to know. There's a slight difference in the pronunciation. The same letter, though. Kaaba, 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 the ankle. There's a comment made. It's used in the fifth surah, sixth verse. It says, wipe your heads, feet, the seventh verse. Okay, the ankles, father. Look at the meanings for this word. This word is Kaaba too, but Kaabun, without the I. It's pronounced Kaab, and it's as it is on the board, and the plural is Tiab, or Kuub, means knot. Knot says even the node, cane joint. Articulation, ankle bone, heel of the foot, or of the shoe, and it goes on. It goes into different meanings, different from the context for us. So there's no mystery about this. The word is telling us that the house is a house for connections, for bonds, for ties between members of the family. And in this case, it's the members of the human family. But it's not only for ties between us as individuals or individual human beings. It's also, stop here. Any comment?
Mohassan, your mic is open if you wish to make comment here.
Thank you. I had it on mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Thank you, yes.
Okay. Now, I think this is a wonderful place to pause, Michael, and go back over this connection the Imam has made here with the Kaaba and how he looks at the meaning of the word Kaaba or Ka'wun, which is T, and Kaab, and the plural is Ki'ab and Ku'ub. Means not. And it reminds me of another place that the Quran uses the term not, and that's in marriage. And it refers to those things, emphasizes those characteristics that have to be brought to the marriage so that it remains knotted or tied together, right? And that, you know, as we go back into what we were reading before, that in those is the association, relationship, associating with others, talking to others, each other, spending time with each other. In those is an opportunity for family members spend time with each other should develop is in the house. So the use of that meaning of it not, right, something tied together so in such a manner that it will not come loose is indicative of the family, the lifestyle itself, and cultural influences of the world on us, okay? That family is solidifying this tie that begins with the marriage tie, tying the knot. Just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. I would like to lend some brief commentary concerning Kaaba, meaning connected. Praise be to Allah, that is the orientation, our focus. And human beings, we are social creatures. We are social human beings. And we derive the best benefit when we relate to each other, when we are connected to each other. That I'm not just isolated by myself, and my interest has to go beyond myself, for I am connected to family life, the first social unit the first social unit. The first connection is between me and my wife, and from us two come countless other men and women from children, and we're all connected. We are connected. So our character should display that connectedness. The ego has to be tempered. The self, the interest of self has to be tempered, for we are all interconnected. And praise be to Allah, that is a universal symbol and sign to all of us that the connection begins in the home life, with wife, children, and then our children have children, and they have children, and we connect with other human beings, the other communities, for we're all connected. We're all interlocked with one another. Our character should display that. You want for your brother what you want for yourself, you know. You will not have faith until you practice what? Loving you one another. So the Kaaba is, by way of connection, is a very, very powerful symbol for us that our character should be shaped by that connectedness and that responsibility that we owe to each other. I'll stop right there. Thank you.
Thank you. That's wonderful, both of your expression, you and Sister Mahasan, and I appreciate that. We invite the audience to press one to share their thoughts, reflections on these wonderful comments that Imam Muhammad is making during this 1992 Ramadan session. Press one to come into the queue. And we're told also when we're about to make our prayer facing in the direction, our orientation is to face this house, which is, you know, the Imam explaining the symbolism and the understanding of the word gives us great insight into our individual connection, because, you know, we're looking at this word having to do with the ankle or joining, you know, connectivity. And we see that throughout the human body. You know, our human body shows us relationships and cooperation. You know, if our body functions did not cooperate with one another, and, you know, when we come into a disease or illness, you know, when something gets out of order, it's not functioning and relating to the other parts like it should. So this is wonderful insight that Imam Muhammad is sharing with us. And he also has, in other presentations, talked about how we should knowledge with knowledge, that knowledge, the knowledge in the creation of God is relatable. You know, the knowledge relates, and we should pursue knowledge in that manner, relating knowledge with knowledge. And so this is a wonderful insight that we're getting. And again, we invite you to press one to share your thoughts and reflections on these inspiring and edifying words. Continuing with the reading, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yes. Pardon me. Oh, here we are. Created man from fluid despicable. Allah Most High says he created us from a fluid despicable, from dead earth and from a congealed clot or congealed blood, and on and on. So So these stages or phases in our growth, from the simplest form of our matter to the highest development for us, these changes or these transitions or these phases, they are also relationships. They're bonding together, tying together. They're bonding us. So everything, the growth of everything, is a bonding, isn't it? Yes, growth is a bonding, whether flesh or plant or anything else. Growth is a bonding, and that's what Allah wants us to keep in mind and respect so much when Allah says, quote, and be regardful of Allah and the family ties. And I want to stop here. Imam Muhammad, and I was looking for it earlier. I couldn't find it. Yes, I have it here. The fourth chapter, which is called An-Nisa, the women, of the first verse, Imam Muhammad translated the Arabic or rendered the Arabic into English, and I'm going to read from it. Attention, you people. Reverence your Lord, the one who created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and caused it to spread forth from both of them, males many and females, and reverence Allah, the one whom you involve, asking one another to respond. And be regardful of female entrusted ties of relationship. Surely, without doubt, at all times, Allah is watching over you all. This is a part of the Imam translating the Quran into what he described as the promised reading. He was unable to complete that task. He started it. But the point I'm raising in reading this translation given by him is that he identifies the word in the Arabic in this verse. The Arabic word arham, Yusuf Ali translates as the wounds that bore you. Speaking of connection again, you know, and how that connection for human life, you know, it starts in the womb, in the development of the human being within the womb. And he translated the word that Yusuf Ali describes as the womb, he translated as female entrusted ties of relationships. And I thought that's so profound in the way that it's described. And it also describes the role of the mother in terms of the early development of relationships within the home. She describes and she sensitizes the household. She's the spirit of the house. And she describes the relationships. You know, she shows the young children how to relate one another, sister to sister, brother to sister, brother to brother. And this is a wonderful reading. Again, you press one if you, the audience, want to come into the conversation. We invite you to do so.
Assalamualaikum.
Yes, go ahead.
As you speak so gently and tenderly about the formation of those relationships, Brother Michael, it really takes me back because I have a vivid childhood memory of the emphasis that my parents placed on the nature of our relationships as sister and brothers. There are five siblings in my family, and from the oldest down to the youngest, there was this intergenerational responsibility that was emphasized on the side of caring, that it wasn't just that with our siblings we had a playmate, we had someone we could have fun with, and that, but my parents emphasized the responsibility quotient, that our position in the family, in the childhood lineage. My older brother, not only was he the oldest of us, but there were responsibilities that my parents made him aware of, that because of his position as the firstborn, he had an obligation. There was an innate obligation that he had in relating to us. And right down the line, we were all just 1 year apart. Everyone had a unique capacity and contribution that they had to make to family ties. And even as young children, the sensitivity with which my mother emphasized that caused us to embody, to bring on, imbibe that same sensitivity and responsibility. So in our own childhood way, we had to let each other know, I'm there for you. If you need me, Mom and Dad are expecting me to help you. As being even just 1 year older, what could I do to make your life easier? It was a very, 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 very tender upbringing, because we understood and we saw between my mother and father that same obligation, that same connection, you know, as parents, as joint parents. So it was a beautiful thing, I always say now as I read the Quran, it makes me feel my mother, she must have understood. She was a woman of the, what do we call, the women in the masonry. I'm forgetting the word right now. But she had a sense of the study, deep study that they had to do in moving upward in degrees of accomplishment, the study of the Torah, the study of the Bible, the Old and New Testament, and then the study of Quran. And like I said before, I didn't know that I grew up in a household where there was a Quran until 2 years after I embraced and joined the Nation of Islam, and my mother brought it out. Yeah, it's just amazing. Yeah. So
crazy
many other
that. But you know, Sister Mahasan, the environment, your mother and other mothers of that time going back, you know, in the earlier, the beginning of this presentation, he talked about the social environment now, and, you know, both parents having to work and other kinds of issues that we're dealing with now. Mothers in particular were more connected with what you're describing in your household. And it was like there was an environment created. You know, there were members of the community like your mother that had particular sensibilities in terms of scripture, but it was an environment created. I believe being closer, being more connected with nature, Mother Nature, being more connected. Times were slower. The activity, the social activity was a lot slower, and we had reflection time. And so mothers were able to, you know, we said on other occasions how the female children, little girls come in with a motherly instinct, you know, Allah has placed it in them, and they act motherly before they've even developed. In terms of maturity, you know, they act so motherly. Yeah. So Allah has put that there. It's still there, but there's so much activity going on that many women have become disconnected with their mother leadership.
That's right. And they've been pulled out of the home, the very presence of the mother. Like my mother used to have a joke with her friends because we were all 1 year apart. She says, I graduated from kindergarten 5 times.
Ah.
You know? So she stayed centered in the home until the last of us was in first grade, which was full time. Then she went to work to help my father provide
praise
for us.
Praise
you know?
Be to it.
Yeah.
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 So again, so there are. We invite you to press one to share your reflections.
I think this is a good time for a public service announcement, if you are comfortable with that, Michael.
Yes, absolutely. Please.
All right. You are listening to the broadcast of the Contemplations of Imam Waisuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. We shall pause for the calls for a brief public service announcement. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. Press one on your phone, and we will open up your mic after these important public service announcements. Inshallah.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard-hitting.
You don't have any peace, and our people have been tricked. And if you've got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated, huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change and has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
The federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Al-Quran.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials. Your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we are back. Michael?
Alhamdulillah. Yes, alhamdulillah.
Could I add a small tidbit to the alham, the wounds that bore you, and I'm grateful for your giving us the tafsir of Imam Muhammad on alham, a female entrusted ties of relationship. The operative word is female. Praise be to Allah. Female. We know female is that which delivers the birth, female is any entity that shapes and nurtures and forms the life within a womb. Within a womb. When we speak of geographical locations, when we refer to cities or towns or even country, we use the female as an adjective for that function. For that function, the United States, she. San Francisco, she. So those that female entrusted ties, the community is as a womb. The community is as a womb. It nurtures the life. It feeds the life. And to have a reverential regard for the community that provided for you, you entered into an environment where everything was provided for you already. You are in a womb. And if we have conscious leaders, they will pay attention to the condition of the womb. They hold the environment and as sacred as what will shape the members of the community in which we live. The reverence of that is what shapes the character, praise be to Almighty God, the character of the inhabitants. So when Allah mentions and reverence the wounds that bore you, we immediately look to a female human being. But for every value system, there is a counterpart in the human being. So the ummah, the community, is sacred. What we allow, how we form it and how we shape it, for it is shaping and forming the lives of the individuals that live within that womb. We cannot ignore the condition of the environment in which we live. We must be aware of the messages that enter the environment in which we live. The health of the community is sacred. We know we need financial stability. We need business to have a healthy community. So these are some of the products and the maintenance of the wounds that bore us, of the wounds that bore us. So I just wanted to give a slightly higher reading of when we mention the wounds that bore us and the female entrusted relationship, praise be to Allah, the relationship between the womb and the individual, the womb and the people. So I'll stop right there, praise be to Allah. So that womb, especially that female function, the community functions as a female. And Allah says, and from those two are scattered countless men and women throughout the earth. Praise be to Allah. I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a caller. We have two callers. Yes.
Okay. 706-627, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Welcome to the Contemplations of Imam Waqidi Muhammad.
Welcome.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum. May Allah be pleased with all of us here in the queue, and we thank him for his submission. Now, I got a text in responding to something on 360, and I don't know. It says 515, but I just now seen the text. But, and it was talking about mental health or something. Is that what we're dealing with today, right at this moment?
No, sir. No.
Okay, somebody's going to text through a lot of people telling them about something that's supposed to be coming on at 360. But anyway, And so that's what I was
the earlier program, Muhammad.
I was at Talim's. So I did, when I got out of Talim, I seen that the text was already too late. But I was reading the rest of it, and it said something about 5:15. I'm just trying to say how I plugged in. What I heard Brother Imam saying, it was almost like the topic of what you had earlier to a certain degree. Because it still boils down to the same thing. And what I was getting ready to say, since it's coming from the Quran anyway, it mainly covers the same thing anyway. Just like Prophet Isa, you know, he explained his situation and why he had to leave. And one of the descriptions that he gave Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the people who will be his followers or the people of the Quran who will do the work that Allah has shared with him to share with the world. We know that we are supposed to be counseling our society right now, and especially each and every one of us. We need counseling. That's what Prophet Isa prophesied, that one of the things that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responsibility was to lead everybody in the truth with good counseling. Sure, go over the things that they have already experienced in the ways of life and the corrupt people who corrupted scripture had done to them, all these psychological effects they had. But the truth will be the main thing to help them have the light to guide them into sit down and discussing their problems with those of us who Allah has blessed to learn the different counseling schemes that are needed in our days and time. You know, that's good scholars in the Quranic Arabic, you know, good istihad with each other, the study of the history of those who came before us in the Quran, you know, all the way back to Prophet Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then we also have a way of life already should have been established. The halal world should have already been established so that people can come and receive the counseling from Almighty God Allah on how to regain back their balance, their mental, spiritual, you know, and physical unbalance that they have behind the diet they've been eating, the type of abuse and punishment they've been suffering from, oppressed, et cetera, and the type of trauma they have witnessed over so many years, people killing each other, death in their family, that they were going to need good counseling from the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, to follow on his mission until Allah brings us to an end. So a lot of what we are missing because we have not established the perimeter of halal or the community of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam enough to where it becomes a refuge where the people in the world can seek counseling, to seek cure, you know, other people from other mental health problems from other sides of the world. They see that their counseling skills and their counseling method of doing so and the knowledge they use is not working on the people. We know Allah tells us in the Quran that in Surah Asr that the human, now that we have the key that man mean mind, we know that the human mind will be lost unless it remembers to turn to the prophecies of Prophet Isa, you know, about the one who comes after me who would lead people all in the truth with all their questions. What's wrong with me? What happened to me? Why is this? Why are the people so dead? Why are people so hateful? Et cetera. And the personal things that each of us goes through within inside our own intellectual struggle. So,
yes, sir.
So counseling is something that we should have, we want our goals to establish. You know, to have better trained Islamic counselors, you know, who have been trained by their study of the Quran, the life of Prophet Muhammad, and Allah's permission and favor for them, so we can address these things that's wrong with people. You know, after
Muhammad,
yeah.
Muhammad, that's a critical issue that you're addressing, and the previous host, Sister Lou Princess, has been bringing these topics up, and other hosts on AM 360 have been bringing this topic up in terms of dealing with our spirit and how it's challenged today. And the Imam in the earlier beginning of this, he talked about these challenges that affect the stability of the home, and affect the nature of how the home is designed. Allah has designed the home life to help us, you know, with our character and with behavior that will help strengthen the social life and not weaken it. So I really appreciate your focus on that. We've got another caller.
Sir.
Thank you. We've got another caller here. Looks like.
Okay. I'm opening up the mic of 727-408. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Y'all have excuse me, but I'm coming on late, and alhamdulillah. But I was doing some community work involving things with my family and different things that we was going through, you know. And it's very, very powerful that when you cry out to Allah, you keep crying out because what they a lot of times they be pressing on our soul, you trying to deal with and see like we're not handling it right, you know, because we have people with issues. But being that we living in the same environment with them, in the home environment, and that very, very, become very, very stressful. And so I was praying out to Allah so much last night because of my character was just off, and I didn't know how to deal with something, and I had to bring peace to myself. And I said, I thought about Prophet Muhammad, and he was in task, and the way that people treated him. I said, I'm going to have to put that spirit in my soul. I said, because I can't handle it. It must be big for me. And Allah said that it's for me this morning. So praise be to Allah. You know, it's kind of like everybody, we want to really call on Allah. We have a real big heart for the work and the condition of the people in the society. And once we find out the mathematics in that is that you put out efforts into the environment, and you call on Allah to help in these efforts, and then the reward comes for you to do more work. I mean, Imam Muhammad, you see good Christian people in our neighborhood. And say they'll be doing things, picking up trash, picking up bottle cleaning, and say we'll bypass them and walk past them. Oh, look at them. They ain't really doing nothing. You say what it is, but that's where the work at. The work is in the community and that spirit in us. To serve God, we should never let that go. And we realize that the spirit come alive, that we have to go out there and deal with the condition and the ills and the vices in society. So we pray to Allah that we constantly be given that type of invitation and begin the work. We have to treat business as being so essential in our life as a people. But no matter how big it gets, and you might call, devotion comes first. But business is a life form. Politics, it's a life form. Citizenship, it's a life form. If the people, if we can influence the people in government so much that they will come up and allow, bring by straight people, straight mentality to come and work with that, with the legislation and everything, let me tell you, see, alhamdulillah. One time I didn't have no thing about politics, and I wasn't broke, nothing like that. But let me tell you something. When the Imam Walter D. Muhammad talk about Islam as a republic, and he break down these centers of that, oh, man, let me tell you something. All of us, we want to run for some kind of office in the society. So praise be to Allah that when Imam, and he came in, what he did, he came in, I don't know his address and certain name, but I know he was able to come into the legislation, and what he did, he led them in prayer, or he called the prayer for them, and he helped in that form. In that fashion, he's a great worker for humanity. And so praise be to Allah that we have that blessing that he left for us. And we thank Allah for the workers in our society, Brother Michael, Brother Amin, all the brothers and sisters who hosted, volunteers, and everybody who's out there trying to make a difference in their spirit to serve God. We should pray for them all the time and pray that their efforts be successful. So praise be to Allah. Look, we don't give up. Keep that spirit,
right.
Keep that intent pure. Keep on crying to Allah. Now I know why Prophet Muhammad cried to Allah as much as he did. So praise be to Allah.
Call on
Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Thank
you. All right. As-salamu alaykum, everybody. We thank Allah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Thank you. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum. Any other comments? Sister Mahasan? Yeah. You care to share? unmute yourself.
Yes, Asim Lakin. No, I'm just anxious to get back to the commentary and the reflections. It's
okay.
Thanks to the interaction and interspersing of the reflections of our listeners. This
yes.
subject has really gone very, very deep, very wonderful, very wonderful.
Yes.
So please.
I agree. Okay. We're continuing, and I'm going to just read the last sentence from the earlier paragraph. Growth is a bonding, and that's what Allah wants us to keep in mind and respect so much when Allah says, quote, and be regardful of Allah and the family ties, unquote. So there we have a clear support for the statement I made earlier that these bonds, ties, are sacred. Quran, وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَأَرْحَامِ, and reverence God and be regardful of Allah and the family ties, unquote. But you see, the word for family ties is a translation. Although we used in the past, quote, the wombs that bore us, because, unquote, because that's the way it was translated, because that's the way it was translated in the Quran, in the English that we were using. I think it would be more suitable as, quote, and be regardful of the family ties, unquote. But for understanding, we should study the language, and we know this. Arham literally means wounds, first of all. The mother that bore us, our mother who bore us. But I have now a family joining another family, and they have mothers too that bore them, right? So it means that family too, not just our mother, the wombs, all of it. And we have different ones, and all these women, they are bearing, and all them together make our family, you see? Their children represent our family and their children. So we have to be regardful of all of them, the family ties. So we must say the family ties, bonds of trust. And in a different kind of a reference now, we have to know that means bonds of trust for us in society. And the first bond of trust is with God, isn't it? That is why it's mentioned first. وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ, then وَأَرْحَمْ, and the family ties, and the bond to follow the messenger, and to follow his lifestyle. We're committed to do that, being loyal to those relationships, to Allah, Muhammad, with our leaders that we pledge our support to, with partners that we go into business with. I'm seeing this as something we should apply with all important relationships. We should not reverence them in the same way. You get to a point where it's not that strange. You wouldn't use ataki, but nevertheless, when God tells us to have sacred regard for certain relationships, then we are to understand that all important relationships are to get due attention and real serious attention from us. And those people who are very attentive to protect the bonds of relationship will definitely be more successful than those who don't. It's easy to see that. Loyalty is very important, to be loyal. What do you say? To be faithful. Don't fail your word, especially when others are depending on you and a relationship is established as soon as you commit yourself to do something with somebody else. A relationship is established. Its relationship is very, very important. I don't see it as something that I should be bragging about, but I believe I have established a very good relationship with the Saudi people. It is because I value them, respect them. I value them for their connection with the two sacred places in Saudi Arabia, the Haram and the Mosque of the Prophet in Medina, prayers and peace be upon him, for their custodianship that the Muslims have there. And it is by consent of the Muslim Ummah that they are the custodians there. Anytime this Muslim Ummah rejects them as the custodians, then they have no right to be, no matter where those places are, anybody's land. But those places could be in anybody's land, and nobody has rights over those places except with Muslim consent. And with Muslim consent means that they answer the requirements in Quran for those people who maintain those places. And it's given very clearly in the Quran what should be the character of the people that maintain those places. I'm going to stop there because this is powerful. This is a powerful social statement. And I think we've seen past, I'm not certain of the particulars, but we've seen some disruption in the sacred precincts during the time of Hajj. I remember two in particular. I can't remember the year, but the character, and I say this respectfully, the character of the officials, the governmental officials of Saudi Arabia, you know, they have been challenged, not just by Muslims but by others. American citizens, American government has, the media leaders challenged certain behavior of Saudi Arabian governmental officials. So this is a powerful, but I want to go back to the foundational focus of family. And oftentimes we don't think about it, but government is produced within the family structure. Business activity, you know, the mother, she's in charge of the spirit of the household. And she has to manage resources. You know, you have to eat. You have to have a roof over your head. Father brings in the supportive income to support the mother and her activities. And it's the origin of business activity as well as governmental activity. And then the social life within the family. You know, you have, families have certain times for socializing, maybe playing board games or some other games. And so everything begins in the family. And I heard one of our young imams talk about how the priority focus was set for education and then business, economics, or business activity. But he interjected that this family focus was very vital to us moving on into a healthy, productive future. The family, education is developed within the family. The mother is the first teacher. And again, we read the translation of the imam from the chapter 4, and he said, the first verse, the family ties, you know, mother educates the household into the responsibility. She even, you know, there used to be a time we heard Imam Muhammad and others talk about, I know I was given chores. I had to wash dishes. You know, there were other activities. I had to participate, take the trash out and so forth. So the business activity, that's business, you know, making sure that the house is kept clean. You're busy. You know, you're busy making sure that the house is an environment that is healthy. So, you know, all of these institutional focuses come out of the family life. Mm-hmm. Anyone else would like to make comments, please press 1 to come into the it looks like Brother Muhammad wants to come back in. And I want to say to Brother Muhammad, while it's on my mind, Imam DeLacy wants to get in touch with you. And so I see your number. I have your number. And look for a 334 phone call from me after the program, because I want to pass some information on to you. If you'll open up his line, right.
Yeah,
I'm open. Welcome.
I'm open.
Go ahead, Muhammad.
Yes, sir. I said that one. I just keep up the family ties. When we look back at what Allah tells us, he said, I made you all come from one soul. Our job is to get the inspiration and the education to the people on this planet that we all have as far as our creation. From that one soul, we know Allah gave us the physical, material reproduction of creating Eve from that one soul of Adam. And we are to reverence that because she's responsible for all the many things that we say. But again, Allah gave that connection to her, to the one soul, Adam. And we are to learn how to respect that, keep that type of relationship with revelation. Because we do know that still Satan is here down here to test the bonds of our creation. And we know that his language is divide and conquer. So we know that from the jump street, he tried to separate Adam and Eve, you know, by promising them both, and especially Adam, another source of developing his soul without Allah, his creator, and Eve, if necessary, you know. And we see that have produced itself in this society today because he's gotten people to go to the ultimate individuality, and that's to be a homosexual, something that cannot produce anything. And he's satisfied with that perversion of the connection that we have with revelation and keep up our descendancy, using that terminology, from Adam, from one soul, all the way where we are now. Now, look how many souls are running up on the earth. But Allah said, out of all the ways the souls have been divided, my favor of Al-Islam will bring you all back together with one soul, if you believe. If you trust and follow the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will help you see, by studying the history from Adam to Muhammad, how Shaitan has divided man and woman, most important unity of the soul. Then the children who are connected to the mother because he teaches them. And then he makes us all this intimate, all this division that we have between the father and the children. You know, because the soul, the children are connected to the soul of the mother first because she's the first teacher. And then when he gets that fitness going between the male and the female, so then naturally we know in the society we have seen that divorce and all these other things, the woman always let a veil come between her children and the children of the man who gave her them children as a punishment or whatever the case might be. So again, the counseling of the soul through the education of what Allah has given us in the Quran will start to eradicate this disunity that Shaitan continuously put in the world and isolated all the world to where we deny reproduction. We deny our human spiritual connection and creation by becoming homosexual, and then he divides that up by making them giving it shame. That's the ultimate shame. When you become so individualistic and you come so far away from the soul of your mother and from the soul of your father to where you cannot do anything to reproduce and you give up reproducing things. But we have let these type of souls adopt children. We have let these type of souls control a lot of things that are going on. So in short, a brief closing, it's very important that we see how clear and simple Allah has made it for us by revealing to us our first understanding of Allah, how he created us, what's against us, you know, etc. How we will protect ourselves from the whispers of the shaitan, from the division of our soul, you know, etc., etc. And then people who, later on, who have felt influenced, how we can counsel them, you know, because they have a natural inclination in their soul that when the truth is given to them in a certain way, they would naturally follow. Now we have to help them get out of that by giving them refuge. You know, we have to fight the oppression that might be intimidating them and threatening them from leaving that type of perversion of the soul. So just want to say that it's really simple what we have to do. We just have to come together first as one soul. You know, respect and repair the family structure that's only between mother and father. We got to teach our women who are mothers and our men who are fathers, you have to love each other for real. You have to love each other so much that a car, money, or nothing will come between you in order to have a strong family value system that will carry on and make your daughters look forward to having a man like father who believes in God and following the guidance of the God. And then the men will look for a woman like your Umi who loves their father, who loves everything about him for what he has been by command by Allah to forgive her. He looked for that. That bonds the community, etc. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank
you. Please press one. Press one.
We, yes, sir.
We want to stay focused on delivering the reflections of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. If we would somewhat temper our commentary to an adequate amount of time, then we can share the reflections of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. We encourage participation, but we want to stay focused on the purpose of this broadcast, to share the contemplations of Imam Walter D. Muhammad and to hear from the listening audience. But we ask you to be conscious of time, speak directly to the point, and be succinct, if you would, so we can continue to share what has been from out of these wonderful books published by Brother Connie, Brother Morocco, and Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. Thank you. Michael, if you would.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Where am I? Okay. We have, we're continuing. Character via relationship. So this word Kaaba brings to mind the ties, bonds, the relationships, and character, as I have indicated, developed mainly because we have contact with members of our family. First mama, contact with people in the household, and we have an opportunity to have a relationship with them that we call family, relationships with them, and character develops naturally upon relationships. Look at the language. Quote, turn your faces in that direction, and wherever you are, Allah will bring you all together. Unquote. To each a goal Allah turns him. It also means the house itself is the truth or real. The truth, haq, means truth, real, evident. So here you see the mosque and the remembrance of God are tied together. The mosque is a symbol or focus for keeping us mindful of Allah altogether. And if we turn our faces in that direction, Allah says he will bring us all together, quote, for everyone is a goal, unquote. Wihatun is used as a goal. The Qibla, we know that's our object. The Kaaba,
bait. That's our object, that focus. But now we are to turn our faces towards there. The sacred mosque is the same as saying the Kaaba. He translates it, which tahatun, which is of the same meaning, quote, face, to be goal. It says, quote, for each is a goal, or for each is a purpose. Goal is like a purpose, though a slightly different meaning, quote, is a goal, unquote. Each is a purpose intended for him. It's not given here. It doesn't say that. But the purpose intended for him by God, that's what it means. For each is a goal. For each is a purpose intended for him or her by God, and God wants that to be fulfilled for that purpose, for that person, pardon me. Though we are millions in number, and all of us many millions in number or billions, all of us have our distinct lives, distinct character, and distinct aspirations. All will be fulfilled. God will fulfill the need in our development for all of us if we will turn and focus there. This is wonderful. All praise is due to Allah. It's very inspiring, and it helps us to better focus on the fact that our life is to be lived with intention. We have been given a life, and it is to be an intentional life. And God directs us with this guidance that Imam Muhammad is expounding upon. He's elaborating upon the symbol in terms of our direction towards prayer, and how that symbol inspires us. It elevates our thinking to see the wisdom in Almighty God Allah and his aim and purpose for the human family. My soul is jumping up and down because of how my mind is receiving the insights that's being shared here. Sister Mahasan or Brother Kareem, if you'd like to share, we appreciate it.
As the Imam mentions here, for each is a goal. Well, what he's saying, for each is a purpose intended for every individual. It doesn't say that, but the purpose intended for him by God, that's what it means. You know, you may have a special proclivity, a special talent, a special interest, a special way of functioning, a special way
yes.
of doing.
Yes.
And you yourself did not give yourself those attributes. They almost
yes.
come naturally. And you, when recognized, then you move to educate yourself in that field. That Allah gave you those valuable attributes that you display. You have a disposition for science, physics, astronomy, whatever, and it's natural. For every individual, there is an individual goal.
It's wonderful.
But in our striving to meet that, we have to keep the moral life in check.
Yes.
Keep the moral life in check. So praise be to Allah. I'm grateful for the man explaining that for every individual, there is a purpose that Almighty God has placed within every individual. And as
yes.
we pursue that, turn your faces toward this house. You are not, how can I put it? Yes. Whatever you have, you're not the author of it. Let me stop right there. Praise to Allah.
Sister Mahasan, unmute yourself. Are you muted, Sister Mahasan?
Okay, she pressed one on the phone. I'm unmuting her mic now.
Okay.
Right.
Mahasan?
I started to speak thinking that I was already unmuted, but what you were so moved by, Brother Michael, took me back to Surah Ali Imran, where Allah says in Ayat 104, he says, well, actually go to 103 and 104, and he says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and hold fast altogether by the rope which Allah stretches out for you, and be not divided among yourselves, and remember with gratitude Allah's favor on you. For ye were enemies, and he joined your hearts in love, so that by his grace ye became brethren. And you were on the brink of the pit of fire, and he saved you from it. Thus doth Allah make his signs clear to you, that ye may be guided. And now we will feel this. Let there arise out of you a band of people, inviting to all that is good, enjoining what is right, and forbidding what is wrong. They are the ones to attain felicity. Be not like those who are divided amongst yourselves and fall into disputations after receiving clear signs. For them is a dreadful penalty. And this reminds us, as Brother Muhammad was giving some indication to, of the nafsin wahida. We are made from one soul. We are actually, the atom is both male and female in the origination and the creation of the human being. And we only divide or diversify when it comes to the necessity of function. The male, as Allah said in Surah Al-Maryam, the male is in no wise created like the female. They will come to the performance of two different functions in the actual life, but they originate as one soul. So you are one from each other, one from another. You come out of the singularity of the soul, but diversify to complete the purpose that we were created for. So his concern about the gender confusion the world is embroiled in today can be clarified by returning to scripture and, of course, the perfected way, Allah's way, interpretation and sending of the revelation of Quran as a final revelation. So I'll stop there, Michael. Please go on. This is powerful, what you just read, and confirming. Hello? Are you on? Are you on mute,
yes.
Michael?
Yes, I was. But you're sharing powerful. Thank you so much. The verse that you read, what chapter is that again? What number?
It's Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verses 103 and 104.
Yes, and it mentions the Arabic is Munkar, and Ma'aruf first. Ma'aruf and Munkar are universal behaviors. You know, the gender confusion is language being produced by the influence of the devil, the Satan, the Shaitan. But you know, we go to the creation of the human beings all over the world. We see Allah has not created any confusion. Universally, we have gender, male, female, and we have that not only in terms of the human family, but we have masculine and feminine in terms of how Allah has structured the creation in pairs. You know, pairs that produce increase production, produce stability, and the like, that are universal ideas, the ma'aruf, universal concepts that have no gender, that have no, I shouldn't say have no gender. Yes, universal concepts of created life, you know, that we see that are reproduced regardless of the area of the globe. You know, we see these universal, you know, there's certain characteristics, even among primitive people, you know, lying and deceit is something that, you know, in these aboriginal people, you know, there's no lying and deceit. It's the universal idea of truth, you know, unselfish behavior, you know, behavior that's connected. Even the idea of sacrifice is a universal idea in terms of how human beings operate, you know. So this is wonderful what you're sharing, Sister Mahasan, and we invite the audience. We invite the callers to press 1 to share your reflections as well.
So we want to go on, please?
Yes. Yes, I'm looking at the board. I don't see anyone with their hand up, so we're going to continue.
Okay.
Character via relationship. We read that.
Yes. Read each of the goals.
Strive together as in a race is where we are. This word, muwalikum, we know, walla, means to turn, tawalla. But also God is our maulana, isn't he? So really the turning is also the protection. There's a similar tie for these words. Fastabikum means to race or to compete as in a race. To strive, compete, as in a race. It actually suggests literally running. Al-Qaira, quote, strive together as in a race to all that is good, unquote. So God is telling us that the best possibility for us to gain good merits is given to us by this ritual of turning towards Kaaba altogether. This ritual holds for us the greatest possibility for us realizing our potential for meriting excellence and goodness. So it's very clearly established for us in the Word of God in the Quran that the bond for Muslim unity and also progress, not just unity, for their unity and progress is whatever should be translated or interpreted out of that symbol. Many will hesitate to try and interpret anything out of that symbol or to translate anything out of that symbol, you see. I'm going to move to another step now, another focus of interest. This very special and strong attention that's given to the Kaaba, Qibla, or Masjid Haram as a focus for our unity and our progress, our favor with God. No good comes unless God favors us, right? That's what Allah is saying, quote, when you do this, when you carry out this, when you obey me in this, favor you, You have my favor, and the consequence is going to be you're going to get great good, unquote. We may be hunting all together. We have an idea where it is, but the map is not so clear, and we start to see evidence that we're getting near it. The map is now coming clear to us because we see some sign where we are now. We're getting near that. We see a marker for it, and we start to trot a little bit. So that's what Allah is saying to us, quote, this is something that is insight and definitely the greatest situation to grow and prosper in. So don't go slowly. Run to it now. You start running now. You can start competing, running, racing, and competing now, unquote. Satan violates the sanctuary of God. Man fears to run when he doesn't know everything in the situation, when something is doubtful in the situation. But this is something that you don't have to doubt. Al-Haq, the expression, I understand this to be an invitation to a science. What is the science? The science is this human behavior. The science is for human behavior that if man wants to manage human behavior, then here is the doorway for him. But it's very sacred, isn't it? No one but God-fearing should take up this invitation from Allah, because if they do, without proper regard for Allah, they're going to be punished terribly, because this sanctuary of man is guarded by Allah Most High and his angels, and they're going to be punished very terribly if they come in here to exploit the human family. But this is also wherever there is opportunity for the greatest gain, for the greatest exploit. So this is the Satan. The Satan exploits this more than anything else. The Satan makes a science of the behavioral nature of man. And he knows the sanctuary of man's nature and development. He violates the sanctuary of God. This is scripture. This is not just me. I'm speaking from scripture. It is very serious. So Allah is addressing a science too and correcting a language of scripture that came before. Man has a sacred nucleus. Oh, praise be to God. Ezekiel's wheel says, quote, there was a sound as many waters, and a wheel rose up from the earth, unquote. This is the Bible. And wherever that wheel went, the creatures below would turn. The Kaaba, the Bait, or the ancient house, it has four walls to it, four corners. And Allah says, wherever we are, he will bring us to the house. Allah will bring us. But the Bible incorrectly says the object itself pulls the faces. The object by itself cannot pull the faces, cannot draw the faces. It is because of Allah that the object draws the faces. Without Allah in our hearts, without regard for Allah above our own selves, we cannot get that benefit at all. We will not get that benefit. So it is myself. We are not to keep this principle focused on principles, perception hidden. It is to be known. We're to tell people that man has a sacred nucleus that accounts for the dynamic life in society, and he should regard it highly and thank God for it, and never separate regard for Allah from regard for it. When he regards it, he's actually regarding his Lord. I'm going to stop here. And Mahasan, if you would continue the reading after we ask the audience, the callers, to make their comment. I see a recall in the
Okay. I'm going to open up the mic of, I believe this is Bilal the poet, 727-408.
Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
I like to, I like to thank Allah for all the workers. And also I'd like to give some special thanks to my mentor. I have a mentor, Sister Mahasan. He gave me a lot of guidance from Wali Nam Muhammad. Gave her and gave her direct to some gifts that she got as a teacher, and she helped me out tremendously in my growth and development. I'm thankful to Allah for that. And I'm always thankful for Brother Professor and the work he does. I can see him, he gets in him. I remember when he was going through that book in Ethical Society, he was doing that so much. I said, I know this, man. I said, I got to put that book. And I can't keep my hand for it. Every time I get one, I'm giving it to somebody else. That book there was praise be to Allah. All the rest of the praise be to Allah. I want to thank Allah for those who recognize gifts in people, and that person also can give appreciation for the gift and the work that is being done for all of us. So praise be to Allah. There's so much you got to say. I'm just going to do this right here. Now, Imam Muhammad, he says something concerning the children. The children going to get what they're going to do, but they don't get it, and they're going to take care of business for us. You don't have to be concerned about that. You say, inshallah. You say, that's Allah real and playing. But I want to just go when he was saying, he started off, he said, eventually a new generation of new people will come. He said, I wish I could say much more to you. And look what he does. He began to pray. He said, may God be with us always. Protect us from Shaitan and his schemes. And make work out of us to undo his ugly scheme and take the burden off of us. Because Shaitan, picture of reality is nothing but oppression. And when I see that, I say, wow. I say, he's talking to us. He gets, talking to Brother Imam Ronald and Brother Gandhi and Brother Baraka. And the bottom line, he actually was praying before while he was just talking. And I say that, and I look at it, that is very, very powerful. I'm just going to go ahead and finish it all right here. Let me see. Allah hasn't done all that he has done. It's worth for it to be aborted all the way from Adam, if I'm putting this on it. Neglected and forgotten, or to be stopped by some enemy. Now this is too big in the rational mind. That is intelligent to believe that this is not something that God is doing, that is going to be permanent. This is permanent. God is bringing in new people and a new way of thinking, a new world. Those who see what we are doing and get something from it, I pray. Here you go again. Now he identified it. He said, I pray Allah blessed them. They're the same thing we have. I pray Allah blessed them. We have the same thing that we have. That is what happened in Spain, didn't it? They were working, but others came in too. The Muslims did not put them out. They did not reject them. So praise be to Allah. Well, for all the workers, that's how the spirit is. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Bilal. Press one. And ask Brother Muhammad to press one as well. Go out of the queue. Sister Mahasan?
Yes. Alhamdulillah, we really appreciate the deeper reflections and insights that Brother Bilal is gifted to bring us. We appreciate it. I'm going to suggest, Brother Bilal, that sometimes the mic, the distance from your phone, creates a little bit of a distortion, so we'll let you know if when you need to adjust that so we can clearly hear all that you have to share with us. And thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and equip you. So, Brother Michael, yes, I'll continue where you left off. The title or the subtitle that comes up next is that Muslims should study the behavioral sciences. Quote,
And could we mute our mics, please? Thank you. Every creature knows its mode of prayer, unquote. That goes with what Imam Muhammad just said. So living for Allah is living with respect for that sacred nucleus. And the first thing to understand about that sacred nucleus and its potential, the dynamic for that sacred nucleus, the dynamic possibilities for it, is that it is social in nature more than anything else. The Muslims should study the behavioral sciences. Let us not be stupid. Let us not just have Quran and Hadith and don't know where Quran and Hadith is supposed to take us. We have Muslim social scientists now, and they're studying. They came over here, and just like the West, in darkness, we turned on to the sciences by, excuse me, let me go back. We have Muslim social scientists now, and they're studying. They came over here, and just like the West, in darkness, was turned on to the sciences by the Muslims. Now, the West and the sciences, in spite of the corruption in the West, are exciting the minds of Muslims who know they were created to be scientists. Allah created us to be scientists. When I say created us, I mean just that. Allah created us to be scientists. The Muslims are Allah's creations. He created us to be scientists, not just people who just express knowledge or communicate knowledge, but he created us to be people who use the tools of science and use them for the betterment of the world or the environment and the possibilities for us in the environment. We're seeing, I want to interject right here, we're seeing a lot of this come to reality as we face the challenges of climate change. If we turn to those documentaries and programs that are following the science and following the data, we're seeing the impact of the Muslim mind. And that's because the Muslim words have been put out there. The Muslim revelationary knowledge has been committed in the environment. And the human being's natural attraction to this is empowering him to make great use. Now, I encourage us to pay attention to that evidence in our society. It's wonderful. So the subtitle, "The Scholars Will Be Next to the Prophets in the Heavens." And the knowledgeable people will be next to the prophet in the heavens, the scholars. Now, we see if the scholars all go upstairs, then we have the same problem the world had before Muhammad. So we're not thinking of Muslim scholars as persons just studying fiqh and things, the Muslim scholars. The Muslim doctor, the good Muslim doctor, he's a scholar too. He's supposed to be guarding his profession with Quran and Sunnah, and he's supposed to be feeding his profession with Quran and Sunnah. The better he knows Quran and Sunnah, the more enlightened a medical doctor he will be. And the more he will be able to help society with his skills and resources. That's why we have seen in the history of Muslims, and even today, a Muslim who is devoted to one of the physical sciences. But when he has an opportunity to give a khutbah, we don't see him as such at all. We see him as a pious person delivering a khutbah on Quran or some aspect of Islamic knowledge. We can't tell. He devoted all of his time and he spends 60 hours in his field. We can't tell that. Looks like the only field he has is Quran and Sunnah when he's talking to us on some aspect of Quranic knowledge. That's what Allah wants. Subtitle, released on your own recognizance. Imam Muhammad said, that's why I say we ought to make some money. Why am I emphasizing this? I think God has given me a condition within myself where money is no temptation. I don't want money for money's sake. I don't want wealth for wealth's sake. I want money to better this community and to better my own condition. How am I going to be better? How am I going to better the community if I don't better my own condition? If I become a millionaire, I'm going to impress millionaires out there in this American society, African American, European, French. I don't care what he is. He's going to be impressed that this Negro has come along this road and now is wealthy. You know, we've got many examples of that currently. So Imam Muhammad says, you see, when your intent is right, and you have obeyed it long enough to be released by God on your own recognizance, as they say, then you can rush and race. Don't we see a lot of this today? Well, I'm ready to race. If you are not, just try to follow me, because we are not going anywhere without that. I'm telling you, we'll just be right here in the crib until we're finished. And I believe Allah wants us to do this. Allah wants us to get into the productive arteries of this world. Get in there. If anybody should be looking for money, it should be people who don't have any. It's as simple as that. If you don't have any money, you ought to be trying to get some. And those that have some, I can see them hesitating. They got plenty, and they're already comfortable. People who don't have any money can't even pay the light bill, can't keep the telephone on, and they don't want some money. What's wrong with that picture? Subtitle, W.D. Farrar used us to slap the white man in the face. In the Bible, Ezekiel's wheel is never pictured as a vehicle or instrument for destruction. It just says that it drew the faces, the people, in the direction. But W.D. Farrar, who taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah forgive them for their sins, he gave us the Ezekiel's wheel as the worship. What is he saying? He's saying that this world made a science of that and uses it to destroy. And he's saying it indirectly with his story. He is, as I see him, a man that's in the Western society to ridicule it. Their most precious knowledge, to laugh at them, so to speak, to make mockery, saying, quote, okay, here's what you call a fool. Try to identify me. Look at what I'm saying about you, unquote. So he uses us to just to slap the white man in the face and laugh at him. Our immediate comedians. I'm not saying that's all that was in him. I think he was perhaps hoping for credit with Allah. He was hoping for credit with Allah, but he knew he had stepped outside the discipline of a Muslim and was doing something very devilish and reckless. He knew that. However, he did have insight, knowledge above most of the people in Islam, Christianity, or in any other religions. He definitely had it. We have to give him that. Fard, Earth, and Moon. He talked about driving a tube filled with dynamite, with black powder, into the earth. All that it is just talking about the same thing, the potential in human nature, social potential in human nature, black powder. It says he filled it up and he blew up the world that was before and separated the moon from the earth. We shouldn't go and study his teachings now. This is not an invitation to go and study what he said, because it's a spider's web, a maze, and everything else like that. There is no guarantee how you're going to come out, or if you ever are going to come out at all. It is worse than a trip through the darkness of the revelation of John, the Revelator. I think he is in the book of Revelation. I'm actually afraid of some of this stuff, you know. I see it, and I see real trouble. I cut myself off from it right away, but it was a mixture of just everything, just threw everything together. We're talking about a Frankenstein monster. He made it talk, too. Frankenstein, he was made from parts, dead parts, found here and there. The scientists put it all together and shot it up there to the clouds and waited for a lightning bolt to wake the thing up. The four faces were as though the faces of living creatures, and we compare that with the Kaaba, and we said that the center of that, in its most essential part, it represents the dynamic social nucleus for human life and society. Now, what are the parts, the four most important parts of that nucleus? Kalaka, Basawa, Kadara, Fahadda. You see, if someone makes it their business to exploit, you can see what they can do to society. If society is not hip, has not caught on, to be alert to catch them before they make too much trouble. The cross represents human potential, and the Satan crucifies us upon that potential. So Imam Muhammad says, that's the Satan. Now we know the Satan. The Satan said, he'll come at them from before them, from behind them, then from the left and from the right. And the cross is not intended to be a bad sign of suffering and shame. It's a sign of this potential in man, and the Satan crucifies us upon that potential. But that potential is good. It's a sacred cross. Don't quote me on this now, Imam Muhammad says. This is just for us. I'll have a storm of crazy people coming at me. Quote, he called the Christian cross sacred. Unquote. I'm not calling their cross sacred. I'm calling the true cross sacred. If their cross is the true cross, then I'm calling their cross sacred. Now, there are symbols of our potential given as the sun and the moon. In the study of mythology, I came across evidence of preoccupation with this symbol, an Egyptian mythology. And in the Quran, Pharaoh is given as one who threatened to crucify, right? Those that were being influenced by Moses, he said he would crucify them. Now, who mentions the ancient Egyptians as people who crucified or executed people upon the cross? Nobody. I haven't found any other than
Quran.
Yes.
Yes, we've just been informed. We have 90 seconds of broadcast time left. If you choose to use the grace period, then we can move forward.
Okay. Actually, I have about 4 sentences left, and we can take a pause. So if I can quickly read that, then we can stop and decide whether to go on.
Oh, I've finished reading, and then we'll take a pause for public service announcement, if you would.
Thank you. Thank you, Imam Kareem. Imam Muhammad said, I haven't found any other than Quran, right, who mentioned the crucifixion by the Egyptians. But when I was over there, he says, I got some books on mythology, and Egyptian mythology is one of them. I came across what I believe to be the cross in that mythology. And when I was over there, I examined the etchings, hieroglyphics on their monuments, their ruins over there, and in some places, the cross just clutters the wall and ceiling, a lot of crosses. They had pictures of cows and the cow that's completely decorated with crosses. So we'll pause there. Boy, that's it poises us with high interest to find out what Imam Muhammad wants us to understand about the Egyptian mythology. We'll stop right there, Imam Kareem, and we can
okay,
do
PSAs. We pause now. Yes, we pause now for some important public service announcements, and Mahasan and Michael, if you choose to move forward, we'll go as far as the grace period will allow. Praise be to Allah. You're listening to America Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference, and this is the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waris Hudin Muhammad. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things and take them on little, have little journeys and take them out to eat and
treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband. And they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated. So they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older and I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit cwsc.us because together we can remake the world.
And we are back, Mahasa.
Yes, thank you. Now, I do have another invitation that I have to move forward to arrive at. So I'd like to read just a short paragraph continuing the explanation on Osiris and Isis, if I weigh in. Then, Michael, would you like to take it from there? It says Osiris and Isis, and this is just...
I'd like to just, if I may, when we're ready to close out, to make a supplication that Imam Muhammad shared with us.
So let me quickly share this 6 or 7 sentences, and then we can go directly to you, and inshallah, we'll give you a do. In this Egyptian mythology, so we're not left hanging there on the cliff of interest, Osiris's daughter, Imam Muhammad says, I believe, might have been also his wife. You know how mythology is. Sometimes the daughter becomes the wife. She lies in wait for her father on his route, and as a snake, she poisons him. Her name is Isis. Now, this is by interpretation, too. That's why, again, Imam Muhammad had to say it's his opinion. He says, I'm giving you my opinion of the interpretation of this piece of Egyptian mythology. He's following a definite path, and then she comes and crosses him. She crosses him. She lies in wait for him. And I see her as crossing him. I mean crossing him by visual conception. I see her crossing him, and she poisons him. This is powerful, Michael. I'm going to stop right there. I'm on page 43. And... this is a real segment area for insight, reflections, and conversation. I'll turn it over to you, Brother Michael. And did you ask Mom to listen?
Imam Kareem, following you in terms of closing out, just let me know when it's time. Are we ready to close out now?
No, whenever. That's up to you, you know, and Mahasa, she has said that she has another engagement, And you have volunteered to share a dua with us in closing the broadcast.
Okay.
So praise be to Allah, the decision has been made.
Okay, I'm ready. And we close
okay,
out.
Yes,
we thank
yes,
you.
Go ahead, please.
We thank you, dear listeners, dear callers, for joining us for Contemplations of Imam W.D. Muhammad. We hope you'll join us again next week, same time, same station. And we make this dua that Imam Muhammad shared with us. And I changed a little of the language from a personal, individual dua to a collective supplication. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, we cannot manage this life for ourselves, not without you. Make our life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow us to act on our own. Help us to act only in obedience to you. We hear and we obey. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you all.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. We came to you this afternoon with the greetings of peace. We leave you this afternoon with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. Really purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, and remain forever grateful. Almighty God asks us a very serious question. Allah says, "Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikum tukadiban." That is, "Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikum tukadiban." And that translates into, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? May we be forever grateful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We've got to be thankful.
Really? As I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta
be grateful for my life, and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
You gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be right. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong. And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine. Stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.